are now listening to The Social Hour.
Malab Keem, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour with your typical bastards. I am Deese.
Brian here.
And hanging with us tonight is Willie B, the MC, local to Spokane. And Neil, I'm sorry, I didn't get your last name.
That'd be Neil Montgomery, known as Spokane's Illest.
Spokane's Illest, all right.
Spokane's Illest, welcome to the show, fellas. I know we've been trying to get you on for a little while. I'm really glad you guys could both be here tonight.
Excited.
For sure.
So, Willie B and Neil, or Spokane's Illest, what do you prefer?
Keep it on a professional note. The illest? Usually I'm Spokane's Illest with a microphone in my hand, this is fine. We can keep it formal.
So we got Willie B and the Illest in the house tonight.
I got you in my phone. I thought that was kind of dope. You're in my phone as Neil the producer. That just has like a good ring to it. I like that.
That sounds like a porn producer. He sounds like he's like,
well, maybe
Neil the producer,
on the side.
Ladies, bring it home.
So. Some people just list me as the Joker, the guy at the store, whatever it is. I'm still the same guy.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you guys could be here. We appreciate you guys coming by. Like Brian said, he's been juggling around. We've been trying to make this work for a while, so glad you guys can come on.
Yeah, happy to be a part of here.
So glad.
Yeah, local representing Spokane hip hop.
Awesome.
We like that. I know, Brian and I, both huge hip hop fans.
Hip hop heads. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So, tell us a little bit about how you guys, tell us your story. We were zygotes.
How did the
duo
meet?
In your mother's womb.
How did the duo meet?
Man, we started rapping together like seventh grade. We were like 13 years old in his basement at his mom's house.
All right.
And the first track we did, it was the Coolio beat. It was what was it?
Gangsta's Paradise?
Indeed, it was.
So like circa 96,
right,
something like
there.
That, right.
Awesome.
Around those Dangerous Minds time.
Totally. So, but for us, we're both 26 years old. So it was like 2001 the time we did the thing.
Yeah. So it was awesome.
I was going to ask you guys age. I didn't want to. I want to put you guys on blast there out there. People know, want the air, the allure of
our aliases.
Yeah.
The personification of all things larger than life.
Right. So it's 2001. You're in your basement or your mom's basement. And 13, you weren't repping your own place at 13 yet.
Not quite.
We were
just on the cusp.
Right, you're like looking at places in Cabo, thinking about it. But and rapping to
Whatever cool mainstream beats we can get our hands on. And, we just had a bunch of buddies we did just fooling around, having fun. And, throughout the years, we'd bump into each other. We both kind of went our own styles and flavors. We just ran with different crowds. And then it wasn't even until a couple years ago that Willie and I bumped into each other again. And he said, "Hey, you still doing music?" "Yes, sir, I totally am." And ended up producing his first two mixtapes, currently available at downtown groceries and maybe just on the sidewalk and street, is volume 3.
That's what I got, right? That's what you hooked me up with?
Yes. Okay. And I've been... obviously, we both have been producing, rapping, doing music since we were 13.
Yeah,
and awesome. And finally, Volume 3 was coming along, and I said, "Willie, what is this for?" And he's like, "I just want people to enjoy it." And I'm like, "But don't you see that you're marketable?" And he's like, "No, I'm not." And so I presented him with the contract, and we're just shooting for the stars, man.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Holy
on.
Holy shit, come on.
So what was your advance? What was your advance, Willie?
My advance.
What was your advance on your contract that Neil gave you?
No advance, man. We're here as a team.
Yeah, all right.
That's what it matters
about. Basically, I think studio time now became free.
Yeah. So do you have a studio, or what do you got, a home studio you work out of, and probably your own equipment and everything, I assume, and do that?
Yeah. I've been, like I said, doing this for over 10 years, and I just continue to grow and try to get better at what I do. And no formal training, so I'll just spin fly by the seat of my pants and try to make it sound as professional as I possibly can.
Nice.
So tell me a little bit about the production side. What do you do when you are laying the beats down? Because we were talking about it in the car over here. I really dig that jazzy kind of hip-hop. That beat, and are you creating the beats? Or are you just doing some mixing, making everything sound good? Like, what's your whole angle on it when you get in the studio and make your magic?
Well, in the case of a mixtape, it's generally just for fun. It's whatever you want. Yeah. I just say, hey, you know, go search for, you know, Jay Dilla or, you know, the RZA or whoever your favorite flavor is. Search for those on YouTube, type beat, rip-off beat, karaoke version, whatever, and just bring it to me, and then let's make it sound awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Speed it up, slow it down, make sure his voice sounds good on it.
Totally. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, an event of a mixtape. It's
all the beats that are on this mixtape, this third one, is just people that I listen to.
Okay.
Especially Razzkaz, Close Soul Forces. I had a couple of beats of those, and Drake 0 to 100 beat, you know, just stuff I like to listen to all the time.
Sure,
yeah,
and so it's a mixtape. So
like you're saying, fun definitely stuff. Is that jazzy feel,
yeah,
like you're saying,
I have
Brian.
A couple jazzy beats in there too, which I really like, and I'm picky about those too. So like, yeah,
cool,
but it's awesome.
Sweet, awesome stuff. I dig it. Definitely sounds good.
Definitely.
So is it mainly beats that, you know, you're picking beats, you know, I mean, a lot of obviously mixtapes are regularly over beats that are already out there. But I mean, there's unique original beats, too, that you guys are doing, working on some of these mixtapes, too.
Yeah, definitely. 2015, I think it's all just about spreading the word. Crown Throne Records would be our home here in Spokane.
Say that again?
Crown Throne Records.
Crown Throne Records. Throne as in like not like I'm throwing something, as in throne that a king would
as
sit on.
That a king wearing a crown would be sitting on, yes. It was actually started, me and my brother were the Spo Kings for a few years before he unfortunately... it's no longer with us. I've just been carrying the torch for him. Rest in peace, Victor Norman. He's an awesome guy. But like I said, I'm just carrying that torch and trying to keep the spirit alive.
Sure.
And so the Spo Kings, Crown Throne Records, and just rolling with that. Cool. We also house myself. I'm a solo artist. A guy, his name is a working title, but also widely known as Machete. And he's kind of our project
guy. I've seen
his
movie.
Yes, yes.
It's really good.
He's actually,
really good.
When you meet him in person, he actually has a green mohawk and blue eyes.
Wow,
it's totally
way
weird.
Different. Than CGI is a mess. Yes, yeah, CGI is great.
Yeah.
So it's amazing what they
look
can
like
do.
An old Mexican.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes, I know. It's ridiculous. Yeah. No, but he's our project guy. He's basically just fun. We just have fun, me and that guy.
Sure.
And then also Sick Vicious.
Sig or Sid?
Sick.
Sick Vicious. Okay.
Yes. Yep. He is a huge punk rock fan, though, so there is some
a lot of rock influences in
that.
The
yeah, it's,
yeah, he,
the group is awesome.
He came up with Knothead a few years ago, which is a pretty big name in Spokane scene. He's moved down to Portland now, doing big things. Knothead's awesome.
Nice.
Cool. But Sick Vicious now definitely brings like a heavy metal, hard rock style flavor. But we're predominantly a hip-hop label, and so he's got that blend of that going on.
Sure.
Obviously, you know Willie B, and maybe we can play a sample of something a little later, what he's got
definitely.
Going on.
Definitely.
Sweet.
So with the, you know, what's the inspiration for you guys as artists, as producers, I mean, you know, fans of hip-hop and music in general, I assume, you know, if you're, you know, people who make music don't, you know, I feel like people who really make good hip-hop music aren't just fans of hip-hop, you know, they listen to, you got to listen to everything, you know, I mean, even like Dr. Dre said, one of his top five albums of all time is Nirvana's Nevermind. You know, I mean, that's like, you know, you never think that if you're just a little more narrow-minded with music. So what, you know, what do you guys look at in hip-hop and beyond hip-hop?
I listen to hip-hop all day, every day. But I'm exploring. I listen to, like, 101 all the time. So I hear all these cool old songs that really
arguably the best station in town.
101. I listen to that all the time at my work and stuff. So, and when I clean and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't know all the band's names and stuff, but they're, like... play a song, I would know.
Sure.
Oh, I love that, and sing the words to it, but...
Probably do what I do.
I'm
like,
just starting to, like, listen to other kind of stuff, you know?
All right.
Okay. Yeah, just starting, for sure. And
so, as far as hip-hop, I guess, what are your... Let's say, like top five hip-hop artists all time.
Oh, man, I can't. That's
yeah, you can. Come on, you can.
If you were on an island for the rest of your life...
Doesn't mean you can't do it. Come on.
All right, top five?
Top five.
There's so many.
There's been, like, at least 40. There's been at least 40 hip-hop artists.
Though. They've done a lot in their time, too, at the same time. You know what I mean? But Rakim, KRS-One, you know, some of those guys. KRS-One I listen to a lot. Mos Def is tight. I love Mos Def.
Are these your five? Laminate. I'm talking, you say them, we write them down, we laminate that list.
So
you can't
three.
Fuck. You
that's
can't,
three. I mean...
Stuck on an island for the rest of your life with it.
What are you?
You got two more slots.
Oh my gosh, J. Cole. I love J. Cole. J. Cole. Right. J. Cole's all awesome.
Right. New generation. Like his newest
album. You know, for newer stuff anyway. And I don't really listen to a lot of new stuff. And so I guess what Eric B. KRS-One. I said Heavy D. Is that what I said?
No, you didn't say Heavy D. You want to say Heavy? You want to say Heavy D?
Heavy D's tight.
All right.
Heavy D's awesome.
Well, that's five right there.
Is that five?
Is that your five?
Is that five? Okay, yeah, I don't know.
Definitely respect to this.
But there's more. Like, I like more than just five. I can't just have like a top five.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. It's putting you on the spot. But you like, I want. I always want to know when someone likes hip hop. Like, who are you? Like, give me five. Five solid.
Definitely stuck in the late 80s, early 90s, East Coast vibe.
Nothing wrong with that. What's your top five?
Man, I listen to everything. My top five artists aren't all rappers.
Sure.
Let's go hip hop and then go broader.
Okay. Let's do it. And then you and me afterwards.
Top five hip hop artists. Sure.
So top five hip hop artists. Honestly, it's weird, but I love the Insane Clown Posse, man.
All right.
I'll full fledged Juggalo.
Yeah.
And you know,
own it.
I just want to say though too, like 99.9% of Juggalos, you and even myself meet. I would love to see them just executed for being ridiculous retards.
All right, fair enough.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you on
this
that
point
one.
They give this 0.1%
of that. I can get behind that statement.
Like, most people are just shocked and wide-eyed when I say, yeah, I'm a juggalo.
I see you got some ink going on. You got a hatchet man anywhere?
I totally do. With a crown for Crown Throne Records.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you put a twist on it. I can respect that.
Word.
It's awesome.
So Insane Clown Posse is definitely on top five.
Okay, if I can cut in here, I just to kind of contribute to what you're saying, we rip on ICP a lot here, and you understand why. Obviously, you just said yourself.
So does the world.
Yes, but if I'm being honest, there's a couple tracks I'll get down with, dude. Like I love the Fuck the World song. I love Homies is kind of good. It's pretty good, I should say. Shit, man. Let's Go All the Way. That's a good one. And even the new one that everybody rips on about, like, fucking magnets. How do they work? Like, miracles. Yeah. The beat is great, man. I love the instrumental.
Well, for me, I relate a lot to Dexter of Showtime series fame.
All right.
And I feel like I definitely have a little bit of that dark side, and they're just really good at channeling that for me. It's just I get a step out of my skin and kind of feel like I'm being myself a little bit more when I'm listening to ICP.
All right. So, who else?
I know, that's one.
And polar opposite, I'm going to have to say the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith.
Wow, that's a broad look. I'm getting the bends going from Fresh Prince. You need like a sorbet of hip hop artists in between there to clear the palate. Like from ICP to
are we talking? Are we talking Fresh? Like.
Like parents just don't understand.
No,
are we talking
good,
like Big Willie style?
Talking,
yeah,
said both equally. He's just right, evolved right. throughout okay. the years from the 80s till now. His last CD was in 2005. I'd say they're gold all the way through.
Right. I mean, well, and shit, dude. Nas did write. He penned a lot of the songs on.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's the only Grammy album. Ever won was getting jiggy with it. Yeah, so that's the only.
No.
And the first Grammy ever awarded
right here,
to
right
a hip hop artist for any reason was the song "Summer, Summer, Summertime."
Yeah.
Will Smith.
First Grammy.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's the song I play at every bar in the jukebox I go to.
Okay.
Guaranteed. In December,
everybody
I play
Michael
summertime.
Jackson
man.
On the jukebox a lot, too. This guy loves Michael Jackson. This is awesome.
I did know that.
Awesome.
So I
this
assume
awesome.
Michael Jackson's number three on the list?
Well,
we're going hip-hop. I need some hip-hop first.
Sure. So, okay, we got ICP and Will Smith. Tech9. Tech9's awesome.
All right, Tech9, yeah.
I also have a tattoo for him. He's pretty badass.
Cool. He loves Spokane, too.
Yeah, he does.
He reps it in one of his albums, if I'm not mistaken.
The intro to one of his albums tells the story how he almost died here. Right. While on his way here, he got helicoptered to Sacred Heart and did his first ever back-to-back sold-out shows ever was that time he almost died here in Spokane. It was in Spokane that he did
that.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of love.
That's awesome.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I like Ice Cube a lot. You know,
solid choice.
Yeah, he's hasn't lost a step, in my opinion. I might just have to go with Ice Cube's right-hand man, which is Dub C. Right. He's you know, the innovator of the C-Walk, and he's just that hardcore West Coast gangster stuff. If he likes that, like, that mind-picking East Coast, I'm all about that.
Well, see, I can respect that, because I grew up in L.A. in the 80s. Mm. So, I mean, I grew up on that. I mean, I grew up on the G-Funk era and the, you know, on N.W.A. and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I didn't grow up on stuff like the B.C. Actually, we talked about last week, 2 weeks ago. I actually went to a barbecue with Warren G. at his aunt's house.
Oh, like,
years ago. Yeah, like what? I just randomly ran. It was crazy. Like, I mean, I grew up in Long Beach. So, I mean, I was you know, the, you know, that video, What's My Name, the Snoop Dogg video where he turns on Doberman Pinscher and shit like that. So, like, the in that music video there, when he's on top of that building, that's the VIP recording studio where he first started recording music on the corner of PCH and MLK in East Side of Long Beach. Dude, I was there that day they recorded that shit. They filmed that shit. It was fucking insane. Awesome. So I mean when it comes to hip hop, West Coast, like, and it was funny growing up in the West Coast too, because like you were in a, after the after like 91, 92, like when Dr. Dre came out. You know, basically when Dr. Dre broke away from N.W.A. and really started getting into it with Two Live Crew, and, you know, Ice Cube went off and started doing shit with the Bomb Squad and stuff like that. It was you were in a vacuum. You did not hear East Coast hip hop in L.A. anymore. Like really the only thing I heard for a long time was just, I mean, West Coast hip hop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it was foreign to me. Like, it wasn't until really like 90. You know, I guess when did, you know, I mean, even Nas's first album, you know, was not really played a lot. You know, Wu-Tang, you know, the end of the 36 Chambers, not played a lot. You didn't hear shit like that. So
it wasn't until I started really digging and looking into the history of hip hop that I was like, East Coast, what?
The first Jay-Z album I ever owned was the Black Album. Because I wouldn't buy his albums, dude. Like, nobody cared, nobody gave a shit, nobody listened to that.
I think I owned like one album. It was like the Blueprint or something like that.
Yeah,
The closest I ever got was like the Rough Riders compilation. Yeah. Had Jay-Z on there.
I don't listen to a lot of Jay-Z though, I'll say that.
Yeah, the only JC I've owned is was the Danger Mouse.
Oh, the Gray Album?
The Gray Album, man. Yeah, I've never actually bought a Jay-Z album. I like Jay-Z a lot, but are you guys familiar with that?
Not at all.
It is Danger Mouse, right? He's one half of Gnarls Barkley. He's the DJ and the producer. Gnarls Barkley also produced some Beck album, two Beck albums. But, this kind of put him on the map. He took the instrumentals from the Beatles' White Album and mashed it up with the a cappella from Jay-Z's Black Album. He called it the Gray Album. it was actually pretty badass, dude.
It's
cool.
It's pretty sweet.
And I bet Michael Jackson got paid for that. He owns the Beatles catalog.
Right, he owns rights. Yeah.
That's the thing. The record producers, the record labels were actually pretty pissed, because he made it himself, and then he like published it for free, and they were sending like the cease and desist letters paid. And shit.
Yeah. Man, once it's out there on the internet, good luck.
Yeah.
Kind of like that movie, The Interview. Like, it was such a big uproar, and we're like, oh, it's free, so shut up.
Yeah. Nobody gave it. Yeah.
It's distributed online now. What are you going to? We're going to bomb every house, you know?
Yeah. Good luck.
Fucking Kim Jong Il.
All right, did you get to your five? By the way,
no, he's got two more.
Two more.
Two more. He said ICP. Yeah, Will Smith.
He said Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. Dub C.
Right. One more.
Oh, one more. Tech 9.
I said. Oh yeah, he got his five.
He got his five.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
But like I said, hip hop is my first love. But you know, I like everything I like ranges from the most like slowest baby making music to the most head banging heavy metal. I mean, I like it all.
As a producer, you got to appreciate it all, man.
Yeah,
amen.
Take Rick Rubin, perfect example.
Yeah,
and especially as a producer, I do do work for anybody who's interested in making music, and you know, I'm interested in making money, and I'm interested in building Spokane as a whole, as a creative. We spoke briefly earlier about Macklemore being basically just the buck stopping with him being a representation pretty much of the Northwest as far as a corporate and commercial image.
Yeah.
which people forget about Sir Mix-a-Lot, and sure. And I just want to be one of those people that people talk about when they say, oh yeah, Northwest or Washington State, yeah, or whatever. Like, nobody can say anybody from Spokane besides Bing Crosby, which he does have more hits than Elvis, and that's great and he's awesome. But it's 2015, and I'm geared and ready to go, man.
I like hearing that. So when you were like, we were kind of talking about Macklemore on the ride over, and you mentioned you're like, I'm partial to Sir Mix-a-Lot. You're being serious. It wasn't a crack. Like you're like not making a joke. You were kind of making a joke.
Well, I don't say that I'm a huge fan of Sir Mix-a-Lot, but I'm more proud of him representing Washington State than I am of Macklemore, and I have nothing against Macklemore, but there's a thousand genres of hip-hop.
True.
Yeah. And Macklemore's just isn't my favorite.
And I can appreciate that. Now, when I lived in Seattle, the first place I ever lived, I was like barely out of high school, broke, so I lived in this piece of shit house in the Central District. Right off of 23rd and Jackson. Referenced in my bosses on Broadway. But funny story, I dated a girl for a while that worked at a really fancy Nordstrom. Or I'm sorry, it was a Macy's in Bellevue, which is like the ritzy-ass part. Like fucking every third car is like a Range Rover, Mercedes. Yeah. Everyone's got like these Louis Vuitton flip-flops, which is really gay. That kind of shit. But she worked at Macy's. I'd go visit her. Sir Mix-a-Lot comes in with his wife.
He came in there?
With his wife, yep. And that guy does lie. His wife was a tall, skinny, no-assed broad.
No way.
Yep.
Well, that's true story. That song's not as catchy.
I
like skinny bitches with no ass isn't as catchy as, you know.
But I mean, so Sir Mix-a-Lot on the cover of an album or on a stage might not be, Curtis Henning or whatever his name is, whatever.
Sure.
I don't know. There's got to be a line, somewhere between your persona and your image and between your real life.
Right.
And I'm going to try to avoid talking about Michael Jackson as much as possible. All right. But there's always a relevant reference point I can consider. Just that people deserve their own personal life. And my job is to entertain you, well, let me do my job. Then at some point I should be able to clock off. And not even me personally, but Sir Mix-a-Lot. Why can't you have a white skinny wife? Whatever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wasn't judging, just observing.
No, sure, totally. It's all good.
Deez, top five hip-hop.
Oh...
it's always tough, man.
It is tough.
It's like, come on, crazy.
I gotta put Nas in there, and I gotta put Lupe Fiasco in there. I know those
good
two.
Good call on Fiasco.
Kick Push was one of my favorite songs.
Yeah,
and Daydreaming was tight.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
What was the gal?
Ooh, she was awesome. I don't even
know her name. Good question. I could look at it. Look it up. I think. I might put Murs in there. That guy
no
kills
shit,
it for me.
Murs,
yeah,
huh?
I dig that guy.
I've heard of him.
He's great.
Yeah. Old school for sure.
Hustle. Hustle. I love that track. John Cena guests on it. He's actually badass.
John Cena?
Yeah, the wrestler.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I want to throw it to my West Coast route. Oh, I gotta give it up for Corrupt, dude. Corrupt. That guy slaughters anyone in battle rap. You can't fuck with Corrupt. And then. It seems cliche, but I gotta give it up for Eminem. That guy kills
I knew
it.
You were gonna say that. I didn't see that. He said something about battle rapping. You know what, dude? I think Eminem would kill Corrupt in a battle rap. I will say that.
You might be right, but people talk about Corrupt as like there's dudes that are some of the. I mean, Eminem, when he listed his top 10 rappers of all time, he listed Corrupt.
Most definitely, that dude
slaughters. He came up as a battle rapper, so when he started actually rapping and constructing flows, it was hard for him because he's just a straight up slaughterhouse dude, and that guy starts rapping. So I want a honorable mention to J.O. Felony from San Diego too. I don't know if you guys know J.O. Felony at all, but that guy back in the day was a murderer too.
Dog Pound, Lynch Mob, Ice Cube Circle. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of West Coaster rappers. Awesome. Like Crooked Eye is super awesome.
Crooked Eye's dope. Yeah,
like,
he doesn't get
Corrupt. You got it like Crooked Eye. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy.
Crooked Eye kills it too.
L.A. is awesome for me. People say Bay Area, and that's actually a huge influence in the Northwest is the Bay Area.
Sure,
the hyphy movement with Mac Dre, all those guys.
Not a big fan of Mac Dre.
I'm not either, dude. I don't like his flow.
Not a big fan of E-40. Not too short. I like too short.
From a legendary.
Pioneerism. But sure. You know what? So let's hear. I want to talk this real quick for Brian.
Can I spit my. Okay. Fine,
okay. No. Okay. So I just want. Let's get controversial real quick here.
Wait. The group votes. I spit my top five first.
All right. Go.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah. I'm taking it extra white here. Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
One of my all-time. They're my all-time top.
See,
top.
There's
anyway.
Like so many ways. Like so top, there is no
Beastie
top
Boys.
Five.
That's going to be one, greats. Two, and three, right?
It's always tough.
It could be. But you guys like the Beastie Boys? Like real? Do you? He dogs. I was like, they suck. What do you guys think?
I didn't say they suck. It's not my flavor. Yeah. I don't think
we want Rainier flavor.
Is it Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're cool.
Okay,
but not my flavor. Like
Intergalactic came out when I was like 14.
Same here.
First song I ever heard. By them,
I was
instantly hooked, dude.
Oh, yeah. I
got their back. Like, I know everything about them. I'm like the number one fan.
Sure.
Love those guys. They just do it for me.
All right.
You trying to have a Rainier or PBR?
The Blue Ribbon.
Ooh. Yeah, I had a
okay, you fancy fuck.
Of that.
It was, the Blue Ribbon.
I can dig it.
No. All right, so Beastie Boys.
So that's three. Who's your other two?
All right, Dan the Automator.
All right.
I'm a huge fan of. Handsome Boy Modeling School, the collaboration he did with, was it Prince Paul?
Yeah, Prince Paul.
They made two albums called Handsome Boy Modeling School. It's badass. That guy, let's see, number three, probably RZA.
RZA.
Number four, I'm going to have to go with Madlib. Number five, man, it's going to be a toss-up between J Dilla and MF Doom.
MF Doom, you said, so RZA as
which Mad Villain could be like the happy medium because that's those two together.
RZA as a solo artist. So if out
which
of all.
I'm sorry to cut you off again, but RZA is also, he spits a little bit on the Handsome Boy Modeling School album.
That's true, he does, yeah.
You guys should look into that. Like,
J Dilla makes tight beats.
Yeah, he does.
Tight beats.
RIP J Dilla.
Night Wonder, Pete Rock. Those guys.
And I'm super proud of the RZA too. Like how much just groundbreaking stuff he's done for hip hop in movies and in Hollywood and just in the world in general. Like he's just made such an impact of the negative image that is always associated with hip hop.
He's
came a long way to like not necessarily even change it, but just kind of redeem it.
Yeah. He's a smart dude too. I actually listened to an interview, a long form interview, about an hour and a half interview with him. Couple weeks ago, and that guy just really is a genius, great producer. Sure. Really, I mean, he tells the story of kind of how Wu-Tang came together and why they started doing music, why they stopped doing music, and kind of the things that kept them from doing music. And you kind of realize that, like, it was just hard for him. He was really saying, like, it was hard for him to justify making the music because the music was not the music in the purest fashion, the way they wanted to make it, or the way he wanted to make it, the way he felt it was good to put out. And, the love for the culture and the real music and things like that. And it's like, all right, well, I respect that because I don't – he's like, we put out what was it? Not – was it – Wu-Tang Forever was the last one. Before that was like Seven Diagrams. He goes, like, we forced Seven Diagrams and it just wasn't what we wanted. It came out he goes, I hate that album. I fucking hate that album.
No,
you know, he goes
–
and, you know, he goes, we didn't – he goes, after that, he goes, Wu-Tang's done. He goes, I never want to do another Wu-Tang album. And then it just – you know, he goes, the fans were clamoring for it, 20th anniversary coming around. We kind of got the right people together and started making it happen, and it just kind of it clicked, it worked, and it happened. You know, but he goes, otherwise, you know, we don't want to do it. I go, all right, I respect that. You know, I mean, you know, everyone wants it, but you know, don't go for the money grab. Do it because you know, I mean, don't do it. And make a shitty album because Seven Diagrams was kind of a shitty album.
Because you love it.
Yeah, the Riz is obviously a smart guy. I've actually
super awesome guy.
Briefly looked into, and I know Willie B, you're just like a hip hop scholar. And like he said originally, like that's basically his only form of music he listens to.
I love to just study like just old school hip hop. I have this book. It's called the Anthology of Rap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like from how hip hop came about.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in that, you know, like because I'm sure there was no like rap. You know what I mean? Like in the 60s, 70s, or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Not so much. I mean,
you know, so it came from like disco era and it switched.
Did they talk about scat at all?
I still say that the Big Payback by James Brown might officially be the first rap song ever, dude.
All over that book, yeah.
James Brown, like the Big Payback, that is a straight up like gangster rap song.
Totally.
Yeah. So this book is just about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, James Brown is the man.
Yes.
I was just going to add, like, as this hip-hop scholar guy, it's on my wish list as, like, a birthday gift or whatever. The RZA actually has a couple of, like, hip-hop philosophy books that he's published.
Yeah. Yes, I was going to mention those. I haven't read them, but I've heard great things about them.
Totally.
Yeah. Now, with the history of hip-hop that you were talking about, there's, like, a major, like, shit fetish joke in here, but do they talk about scat at all?
You know, like what? Right now, like, right
like
now,
spoken
man.
Spoken word in rhythm like you're this. The one in jazz, the
they,
you know?
they talk about all kinds of stuff. Like right now, I'm at the point right now to where how hip hop came about. So like, I just got this book not too long ago from my girlfriend and stuff
right
like that.
Suggesting
and,
it
from Valentine's Day. But yeah, it's cool. Yeah. And so,
what'd you get here? Did you spit her a little custom freestyle about your love? No, professional love for her.
She's actually like this like gothic punk rocker chick she's, with red hair. Yeah, I'm like, no, really? She, that's yeah, your girlfriend? Awesome. He's like, oh yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
So hot. Anyway, I'm gonna show her this. Anyway. Yeah, no, so she gave me this book, and it's just how it came from, like, disco era to hip-hop and all these big names, though. Like, I start, like, looking through it more, and there's, like, Immortal Technique and all these, like, political guys. Yeah, you know, I love Immortal Technique and Bill Bill and, like,
Dance with
all
the
these
Devil.
Political guys, though, you know? Yeah, Dance with the Devil is awesome.
That's an intense song.
But just how intense it came track. About and just, like, even certain lines. Like, yo, this guy said this line one time. That meant to this guy right here, like, all kinds of beefs. All kinds of stuff. This book is like a Bible, yeah. I swear. And I can't
Hip-hop
wait to
Bible.
Fully read it.
Nice. Wow, that sounds badass.
It is super awesome.
All right, so I want to circle back to something controversial.
Yeah, what's the controversy you wanted to hop into?
This is some controversy then. I get a lot of shit for because, you know, I'm like you. I grew up on hip hop. Besides hip hop and old school, like classic 50s, 60s music, I didn't listen to shit until I was like probably like 10 years ago or so. Like that's when I finally started listening to other things. So and I'm 32 now. So I mean, I've spent most of my life. Wait, no, I'm 33 actually. Wait, am I 33
most of your
or
life
32?
Being white.
You'll be 33 awesome. In October because my birthday
Mexican.
Is like right after yours.
I'm actually Mexican. So am I 33?
You'll be 33 in October because
okay,
I turned 31
fuck.
In October.
I can't even remember how old I am. That's how fucking I lose my mind. So, but I get a lot of shit for this one. I want to get you guys' take.
I would love it.
I think Biggie Smalls is the most fucking overrated hip hop artist ever.
Second most overrated. Oh. Tupac takes number one.
Oh, come on.
Whoa! Okay, right. There's gonna be
man.
A beat.
This interview, this interview is over. we've been. Awesome.
Hey, nobody said Tupac in their top awesome. Five, so don't come at me with that.
No, well,
I think it's funny because I knew he was gonna take issue with that. I mean, no, I like Tupac. I don't necessarily disagree.
I think, lyrically, Biggie Smalls got it.
I talked to my buddy who's he's from Memphis, loves hip hop. You know, we talk all the time. He goes, we always have this Biggie Tupac argument. And yeah. I go, I said, forever. I could name 25 hip hop artists. I go, I could name 50 that I think are better than, and he goes, name them. And I started writing them out. Boom, 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 boom. I go, I think every single one of these guys is better than Biggie.
Okay, but that's your opinion.
No, it is
like,
an opinion, but thing. I will say this. I have never heard anything Biggie spit that I go, that blew my mind, or that was good. That was great. It was like, it's not bad. It's not
Willie
like that.
Willie B's getting all riled up over here.
Like, dude, I hear
shit. Like, if you know Tupac, Biggie, you know, but check it out. Like, they were old school guys. You know what I'm saying? These guys, cats now.
Oh, it's different.
Oh,
it's
you
different,
know what I mean?
Right?
Like,
yeah,
it's total more lyrical type stuff now. So, I mean, back in the day, like, their raps were just so simple, but so
Super Nintendo,
straight to the point. Just
Sega
like, boom,
Genesis.
Like, that was tight, you know what I mean?
Never thought
well,
I could picture
here's
this.
The argument.
Yeah, no,
here's like, the
this?
Argument. Okay. I used to
now, these guys are like using multis, like,
right, the multi-syllable, yeah, compound syllable, yeah,
stuff. You know, like these guys are murdering it right now. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
There's
it's
one
a different
song
game.
I can vouch for it, but I totally can't even think of the name of it. But it was the Bone Thugs and Harmony featuring
okay.
Biggie Smalls.
He does kind of kill it on that.
Was
yeah,
awesome.
Bone
Thugs.
Notorious.
Ain't nobody want to fuck
Notorious.
With us.
Notorious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's the thing that we saw. And maybe Neil, maybe you'll agree with me on this since you mentioned Ice Cube is one of your favorites. You know, again, growing up in L.A., some of the first hip-hop I listened to in 1987 was, you know, N.W.A., their bootleg CD, right?
Totally.
It was a four straight out of Compton. It was four Ruthless Records. It's called N.W.A. and the Posse.
Totally.
Okay. That's tight.
Yeah,
that's
so,
tight.
I mean, and that, I used to argue, I go, Ice Cube is better than Biggie. And he used to be like, no, Biggie's better. And I go, look, listen. I go, maybe it's because I relate to Ice Cube more because he talks about places that I've been. He talks about places totally. I grew up in, you know. But I go, the only thing I give Biggie is he was a pioneer and he was the first guy on the East Coast to make it big. Like, really big. Like, really like a pop star, you know.
Yeah, like, not like Sugar Hill Gang big.
Right.
Brought it to a commercial level.
Yeah, commercial level. Like he's on you know, what the fuck was that show Carson Daly had on MTV or whatever the fuck?
TRL, right?
TRL, oh, or Total Request Live. He's on, you know, he's
spanking new.
Right, so he made a commercial. That's a good way to put it. Totally. You know,
mainstream.
Exactly. He made white kids get up and dance. So
he made all the white kids think that, you know, we were pimps. We had Too Short, which like we mentioned before, is kind of overrated, but just totally respected for his legendary status.
Yeah, pioneerism.
That's the same way
I feel
about Tupac, though. Is like, I respect his legend, I respect his following, but I'm just personally not a fan. Like, I just think that basically he pretended to be a hardcore gangster version of Martin Luther King. That's the way I see it.
At the end.
Isn't that every hip-hop artist, though? Because none of them are really the legend they say they were.
Martin Luther King wasn't.
Well, but let's put it this way. So, like, Tupac, here's why I like Tupac and over Biggie. The guy had a passion in everything he said. If he said, eat a sandwich, you'd be like, I'm going to eat the shit out of that sandwich, motherfucker. Like, God damn, this sandwich
is
crazy.
What he was saying, though. Yeah, like, most definitely.
Like,
when it
evokes emotion, and, like, you know, he could go from, so I fuck your bitch, you fat motherfucker, to dear mama. And, like, there's not that range with Biggie for me. There's not that range of emotion with Biggie for me. Like, sure. I didn't get that. He didn't evoke any feeling. Like, he wasn't terrible, but he just was like, he was just there. I think it was the right time, right moment.
Sure.
There was no one
to be
better.
It was just perfect for that East versus West.
It is. Yeah. And it's kind of like to touch on, I was like, to touch on what Neil said.
Today, Junior?
Yes, that's what I just thought of.
Today, Junior, I love that. Adam Sandler's my man.
Well, if you ever watch like YouTube videos of Tupac, you know, before he got big in the rap scene, he was like a little artsy fartsy drama musical theater guy.
The digital underground.
Yeah,
stuff,
dude.
You know, you ever seen
that movie Nothing to Lose with Dan Aykroyd and shit like that? Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase.
Oh yeah,
oh,
he's in there with the
high top
fade.
He's got the high top fade dancing in the background and the fucking hammer pants and shit, dude. Yeah,
nothing to lose.
But still, but it wasn't until that he made money or got shot that he became the Bruce Lee of hip hop. He's just the most arrogant bastard you'd ever meet, ever.
But you know what? You got to know that. I mean, obviously, there's guys, especially at that time when hip hop was still dangerous and hip hop was still an unknown, and you know the feds are tapping NWA's phones and shit like that, like they're trying to get their music banned,
you know, they're shutting down concerts for grabbing their cocks or whatever,
right? Yeah, you got people, you know, you got them shutting down Two Live Crew concerts in Florida and shit like that, like
strippers,
right? So it was still, you know, he was pushing the envelope to make it more extreme and to offend people and to take it that level to get recognition. I mean, he knew what he was doing. You know, he was doing it to forward the movement and really be able to get people out there. Yeah, he said outlandish shit, but he said shit that meant something too. You know, he wanted to be meaningful. He was poetic. I mean, I got a book of poetry that was never of his, that was never published until after he died. And it's like, you read that shit and you're like, God damn, dude, this guy was a fucking
phenomenal
monster, like deep,
yeah,
dude. Like,
yeah,
this guy was haunted and deep. Like, this is there's some real shit, you know?
That may be true. One thing, though, that I think plays a huge part is that Suge Knight, he was like the Berry Gordy of hip hop. You know, like, because Berry Gordy, he was like, whatever it takes to be commercially successful.
Right.
Then he made, you know, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, the Jackson 5, all these amazing artists that have just changed the world, especially for that time for black music. And then hip hop will always be identified as black music.
Sure.
Like Eminem's cool, Vanilla Ice, everybody knows, but that's cool. But still, Suge Knight, especially in the early 90s, was like, by all means necessary. He's the Malcolm X of hip-hop, especially, like you said, in the early 90s, hip-hop was still so risque. It was like the forbidden fruit. It was like, oh, my God, you're listening to Tupac? What?
Right.
To where he was just like, say you're going to shoot him in the dick. That's going to sell. You know, like, Suge Knight is ruthless businessman and just whatever it takes. Like, he played a big part in a lot of that East versus West and a lot of the bullshit going on.
It perpetuated the sales. I mean, that drama that instigated and kept things moving. I mean, you need that. I mean, it's like, the, you know, in advertising.
That's what pushed NWA's album.
It is advertising. It's about money. And, like, Tupac, like you said, may have been a phenomenal poet, but the bottom line was always dollars. That's why he's come out with like postmortem.
Well, I don't think he has.
Well, but still, there have been money made from the Tupac estate.
Isn't his mom or something that's been doing it?
Well, Death Row owned it for a long time. And then, his mom got...
I wonder how they pick what songs to like put on the albums that have been unreleased.
And I've heard that they have like some kind of gimmick that's like an auto-tune thing that can make your voice specifically sound like Tupac.
Yeah.
Like to where they just have like doppelgangers come and read his
like
stuff.
Like Aaliyah's brother.
Or even whoever. And they just like, and like this guy, this new sensation B. Howard, who's claiming to be Michael Jackson's son. He's like huge in Europe or whatever.
We all know Michael Jackson has no sons.
Well, he does. He actually has two sons.
I don't know about that. I know. I'm just fucking.
But it's cool. Yeah. Well, at least that he claimed as his own that had the last name Jackson.
Yeah.
But still, there's this guy, B. Howard. He's huge in Europe. And there's been a lot of controversy surrounding like his DNA tests and all this.
He's probably
stuff.
Really Randy Jackson's son.
But really what it is what he does is so try so hard to imitate Michael Jackson that everybody's like, oh, it must be true.
Sure.
But then so then there's so many rappers now that try to imitate Biggie, Tupac, many of these people nowadays that it's like, no duh, I like that because it's exactly a ripoff of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's art. It's art. Everything's been done before, so.
But a lot of it, the point was, I think, I'm sorry, is it's about dollars. It's what it's primarily
always been about.
It's a
business at the end of the day, man.
It is.
It's like Hollywood, dude. Hollywood's not out there to make good movies. Their goal is to make money. Right. Sure. Second goal is to make good movies.
And that's what I think the difference that's between the Willie B and myself and a lot of other rappers, like even maybe Macklemore. I don't know him personally. I can't say. But like, there's people that say, I would love for my job and career to be a rapper or even a musician, an entertainer in any sense.
Yeah.
That would be my awesome job. And then there's people like Willie B who like can't not be a rapper.
Right. Yeah.
It's just in him.
Well said. Well stated.
Yeah. All right.
That's what's up.
Well, all right. So tell us, we're going to take a quick break here in a second, but tell us where we can find you guys. You on Facebook, Twitter. How do we find you guys?
Willie B is on Facebook and all over YouTube. Primarily,
YouTube,
we're on the streets, man. We're at Downtown Groceries on Sprague and Howard, where Brian here picked up his first
and
copy.
And you can get CDs when I have them at the Satellite, most definitely.
Satellite Diner.
I did like you on Facebook.
And he's a bouncer on Friday and Saturday nights. I usually try to keep his pocket lined with CDs.
Where at?
Sprague and Stevens at the Satellite. Stevens.
Oh, you bounce it
at the Satellite.
At the Satellite.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Avon still working there?
Avon is working
there.
That's my dude.
He's the only other black guy that works there.
No, we got another black guy there.
Oh,
no. It's awesome. Dishwasher, but.
Okay, he's there. He's in the building.
Couldn't find a Mexican for that job?
There was one.
Yeah, of
course
there was.
There was one. He quit.
Well, it's seasonal. It's gardening season, so shit's coming in.
Yeah,
it's coming up. Primarily,
probably my primo.
He's in Yakima picking apples.
Yeah, probably my cousin.
We're on the Nike Express using our Lamborghinis out there just getting the word out, hitting the streets hard. And, hey, you want a dollar for hip-hop? You want some local hip-hop? You know, randomly we'll just be like, hey, today the CDs are free. Here you go.
We got a bum team, man.
Yeah, we have a homeless street team.
And they're pushing
because
it out there.
I work at Downtown Grocery.
That's got to be great for the street cred. Like, actually, like
for them too.
Like,
though,
I mean, like that's like real. You got
for
like homeless people
too.
Pushing your shit on the street. That's cool.
Yeah, and they're you know earning money in their pocket too at the same time.
Yeah, I'm like,
that's
okay,
awesome.
So
okay, I'm a marketing guy, marketing sales guy. So how does that work? What do you do? You're like, do you give them a stack of CDs? Do you trust them to come back with the money? Or
no,
you like,
hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. No, so I work at Downtown Groceries, which is a block west or east of the STA Bus Plaza.
Love Vic and Belcar, by the way, man. I was really sad to see their sandwich shop go, but I love them. I love their store.
Yeah, and I've been working there almost a year, and you know, part of me kind of feels like a part of the family, but part of me needs to like not feel that way. Anyways, I've sold over 200 copies of Willie B's mixtape there for $1 a piece. And I've given away probably another 200, whether it's to a friend, hey, go give these out, or go make $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
But coming back to the homeless people, there are some that it ruins my day to see them. And then there's some that I'm like, hey, sure, here, I'll give you 50 cents to cover your beer, whatever, you're cool. And some of them are just way cool. They're just, you know, having shitty life.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those select few of people that I actually respect.
Trust.
Well, and the more that I do these these homeless street team ventures, the more I will trust them. At this
point,
it's like,
so how's it working? Yeah, right, sure.
Shark Tank with this is my homeless street team. We got Mark Cuban
would love that.
But it's like, hey, you're not shoplifting, and you have half of your teeth, and you know you're pleasant.
Yeah,
okay,
struggling
cool.
right now, you know.
Yeah.
And so basically, there's like I said, the two other guys, Machete and Sick Vicious. I was a part of Crown Throne Records. This just four sided square, just tough, like Spartans on all sides, like working hard to make this thing work. We say, okay, this week it's your turn. Here's a backpack full of posters, flyers, staple guns, duct tape, everything you need. Now take these three homeless guys, and I want you to go up Division, or go up Nevada, or go down Sprague, or go up Grand, or whatever it is. And as you go, I want you to have this street or this light be your checkpoint to meet up with everybody and have... You know, just distribute what's going to be necessary. You're not going to give this homeless guy 1,000 flyers and throws them in the garbage. My job's done.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do, I'm like, here's $10. This guy is going to supervise you and you know, maintain the flow of product that I'm spending money on out of my pocket to be promoteful. Promoteful. And
let's coin it. Put on UrbanDictionary.com. Yeah. I love it.
It's promoteful.
Promoteful. Yeah.
Totally. And then when you get back, here's 10 more bucks.
All right. There you go. That's how you
that's
motivate
my
homeless
the homeless street team. Totally.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and Willie B and the Illest are going to hang out and we're going to talk some news and some other stuff. So,
we'll be right
back, everyone. Are you tired of all those old web design services? Stuck in the Stone Age? Not giving you what you want at all? You're looking for something creative, sharp, and modern. Look, you're not trying to put on a flapper suit and do the foxtrot, alright? And there's separate water fountains now. It's in the new millennium. Let's deal with it, folks. What you need is Ridge Studios. They're big, bold, and always on point. They offer graphic design services, digital media creation, web design, and much, much more. That's Ridge Studio, R-I-D-G-E studios.com. That's Ridge Studios. Check them out online. They're extreme and extremely good. I mean, listen to this music. Can you hear how badass that is? Plus that guy screaming in the background. I mean, that's pretty hardcore. So go check them out, RidgeStudios.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to the Social Hour with the Typical Bastards.
What?
Yeah, still hanging with us. Willie B and the Illest in the house.
That's right. Hey. We're back from our refractory period. And
we didn't just beat off.
Yeah, we
that sounds weird. Like, we're in our refractory period. Like, we all just had this jack session in this little in
we all just
studio
had to recoup
here.
For a minute. I mean, I just went to the bathroom for like 12 all seconds, right. So I jerked off in there. I don't
whack
know what
shack.
You guys were doing.
I was
you
at the front of the line, so like, I just got jerked. Everybody else was doing the
and
jerk.
And that was it. So it wasn't gay.
I'm a watcher. I'm a watcher.
I just relaxed.
Willie B watched.
I'm a watcher.
All right, speaking of jerking off and shit.
All right. We're going to get into some news. We're going to hang out and crack wise. Tell us, you know, we're all going to chop it up with the local and worldwide news. So listen up.
Yeah, so speaking of jerking off, I'm an internet guy. I got a solid background for you two, just a little background on me. I used to run a company that does online sales and marketing.
Nice.
And I still stay up on it. I don't do the same kind of line of work, but I still stay up on that stuff. And you guys are familiar with, you know, websitewhatever.com, websitewhatever.net. It's all run by a company called it's all run by a company called ICANN, Internet Corporation of Numbers, assigned numbers and names. And they're the ones that are responsible for registering every single like .com or domain that comes out. Huh. As we progress more and more into the future, all the good .coms are being taken, all the .nets are being taken, .orgs. So now they have like .info, .tv, .biz.
Oh, yeah?
They're about to release...
.co, .co, you know, I mean, those, even those are taken. Yeah.
Now they're about to release .adult and .porn.
.xxx, too, has been out for a
That's
while.
That's been out for like a few years now, yeah.
Yeah.
Which it was designed for porn, so it hasn't really taken off like they were hoping. Anyway, DC's going to love this. He's obsessed with Taylor Swift.
I do like me some Taylor Swift.
Yeah, who doesn't know? She's a beautiful
little
white girl.
I bet you're super upset when Kanye was like, no.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, fuck you, Kanye!
No!
Hey,
you're like, stop it, Kanye! What are you doing?
You're so wrong all the time.
I'm trying to watch your mouth move.
Yeah.
But
Taylor, it's her hair. It's mainly her hair that does for you. Dude, long,
do
wavy,
curly
hair.
You know how gay that sounds? Oh, no. Like Taylor Swift's
long, wavy hair,
hair
dude.
Oh,
that fucking kills me, dude. I mean, look awesome. At look there's at Neil over here.
That's no. What I look for in a woman. That's she has hair. To have nice hair.
Yeah. Willie's. Yeah, hey.
She has nice fingernail cuticles.
Friends you share. Friends you care. Friends you share. All right? That's what I'm saying.
Knee joints need to just be ashless, and I'm all over it.
Well, she is white, so they're probably ashless.
Wow.
That was a black joke.
Yeah, I went there.
Holy shit.
Yeah, my man's okay with it. Thank you.
I love it. I love black jokes.
But he doesn't like black girls.
I don't like black girls. Sorry.
Anyways, okay. So Taylor Swift.
Her management team just went out and purchased TaylorSwift.porn.
Here's why I don't like this. I was very deceived. Because I thought I was going to get something better when I went
there. You're smarter than that. Like, come on.
You became a member and registered within the first hour.
I am in. Taylor Swift dot porn. Yeah, holy shit.
A cult. Let's do it.
Let's save that page. That's getting saved. Exactly. Bookmarked in the browser.
They paid $2,500 for that, which is like a lot to all of us, I'm sure. But to her, it's nothing, obviously. No, right. But they bought it so that some perv out there like these couldn't like buy the domain themselves and like try to make like
jack off pictures
photoshopped
make money off it because people are like, holy shit, Taylor Swift dot porn, and they're gonna go there and they'll get advertising dollars for it, so
$0.06 per visit
whatever it might be. I thought that was kind of interesting.
You understand why they buy it, but it's like it's
disappointing to people like you, right?
Very.
That's not what you asked for.
Look, I had my tissue and my fucking Jergens all ready to go and my Jergens. The clean is ready.
Right,
let's go. Taylor Swift up porn. I am in. You know, I took a couple of Viagra, ate some broccoli, powered up. I had a Red Bull.
Broccoli.
I was ready to go.
This
is ready to go.
Red Bull. This is what got it.
I was ready to go.
This is the 5 minute session. I'm going to drag this thing out.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm going to take this as long as I can.
Your celery and broccoli.
Yeah. It just did not. I was very disappointed.
There's truth to that, man. When I was in Seattle, I was at a bar in this really ritzy area called Kirkland. And I was at a bar one night, and there was a porn producer.
Home of Costco. things you can make from a horse. Welcome to Costco.
on the lake, though, it's a ritzy-ass area, dude. It's like all like six-pack dudes and like just like super perfect tens.
Yeah,
bikinis.
You get the
Jersey Shore of the
tan,
Pacific Northwest.
Basically, yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, if you're not driving a brand new Mercedes S-Class.
Jersey Shore is my job.
Not getting
my
laid
show.
That
But
Jersey Shore.
I feel like you're a little too. They might consider you threatening to be on Jersey Shore. Like, that guy's darker than Tom Petty. He doesn't get to be on Jersey Shore. That's a real tan. We don't know what to do with that. We're not sure how that works out.
I just lost my train of thought. Thanks, Ash.
You were in Kirkland.
I was in Kirkland. And I was
you went
talking
to a
about
skeezy bar or something.
Oh, right, back to the broccoli celery thing.
You were blowing a guy in Kirkland, six pack of guys.
Let's go.
Well, yeah, he bought me a Rainier. Come on, what else? It was rude not to.
So local, right?
Yeah. So I'm talking to this porn producer who happens to be there, and he's from LA. And we were talking about it.
Let me guess, San Fernando Valley. I'm taking wild
just
stab
like 8 years ago. I don't remember.
Yeah,
but he was talking about what they tell their male porn stars to do before the day of a shoot for the money.
Let's go.
And this guy said to me, he goes, "You ever want to impress your girl and like fucking just destroy her face with your jizz?" He said,
"Yes."
He goes.
Every day.
Eat a stalk of celery and a whole head of broccoli. And
then
like,
fart on her.
That's what the porn stars do. And flash forward like to like 3-4 years ago, I remembered that and I was like, I'm going to try that. I ate a whole stalk of celery and a head of broccoli.
No, you didn't.
I did.
So it's like an amplifier.
Yeah, I could have filled up this can of Rainier.
No.
Like seriously. No bullshit. Yes.
That's kind
of
gross.
Why did you have a can of Rainier to fill?
Dude.
That's just an estimation.
Okay.
I don't eat very much vegetables, but I usually get that complaint. That
you know
like,
what?
Why do you come so much?
Well, here's I've never heard a girl be like, you know what? You didn't come enough on my face.
Yeah.
Could you eat some vegetables, come back and come more onto my face?
It doesn't look like I dove into a head bowl of tapioca
every week for me.
Right. Yeah. It's like I didn't look like I was in a fucking in an Asian businessman bukkake video from Japan.
Yeah. Starring on
fucking,
Skype.
Yeah, like I'm wearing one of those fucking dog cones, like my dog just got fucking spayed or neutered, and you're all coming into it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, let's
drown you, bitch.
Real tough, dude.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Pretty much.
Like, I've never get that complaint.
So the fact is a fact. If you eat broccoli and celery, you're going to jizz in large amounts.
It worked for me.
Well,
you know what? I just
my girlfriend will attest to that as well.
I just read that book, The Promise. What's it called? Promised the Secret. I read the book The Secret. And if you want to come on a girl's face more, you just think about wanting to come on her face more. And the universe will provide the cum to get on her face.
Sure, yeah, fuck celery. Yeah. I just need to think about it. Positive energy is going to make me have larger amounts of semen.
That's right. See?
You guys are upset my stomach.
Yeah, don't eat at Krispy Kreme anytime soon or any other glazed donut.
I think I could just naturally have large testicles. That I don't need the celery. Yeah,
we're only going to do 45 more minutes of cum talk, then we'll move on. Right. So, okay,
moving on. Yeah, porn stars in Kirkland, we're done. Right. Thank you.
All right, so that was my piece about Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Right. You want to, should we transition that into some whack job of the week?
Yeah, the whack job of the week. Whack job of the week.
Oh, I just got that.
Yeah, we go.
Okay.
We're going to whack that job.
Yes, we got a segment we do called Whack Job of the Week, and it's basically where we find a somewhat humorous news story usually, and we try to figure out, we talk about all facets of it, and we like to determine who's the real whack job in the story. Mm. This week, we go back to North Korea. North Korea, can I just preface this by saying how fucking adorable Kim Jong-un must be in real life? Like, he's, when we see a picture of him, he's like a normal size adult, but I really think that he's probably like 3 foot in real life, and has like a little high-ass voice like this. He's like, God damn it, they don't take me seriously. Like, he's like some like 1950s Looney Tunes villain who's like tiny, has a high-pitched voice, but they have to take him seriously because he's the boss, even though everyone's really laughing behind
really,
his back.
Really, he's the boss's son, right?
Yeah.
All I know is that they inherited hate
this
us.
Power.
But they have to respect him, or he'll like chop their fucking heads or balls off or something.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what's worse.
He killed his uncle. He was killing his uncle.
People, right?
Yeah. At all.
I mean, that's
thank God I was born in Spokane. Seriously. Yeah.
I heard,
or at least not North Korea.
I heard on Facebook, I was like looking on Facebook, and some guy took like a trip there, and it was like the wrong trip he ever did.
he got captured.
I was like, no way. You know, I don't know nothing about like Korea or anything, but.
So the whack job.
Sounds like shit.
Those guys don't like us. Damn.
So basically, South Korean activists who don't like North Korea. Yeah. You mentioned the interview earlier. Why don't you mention the interview, the movie? Some activists in South Korea are taking 10,000 copies of the interview on DVD, and they're going to send them in balloons over the border to North Korea. That's kind of like their way of like pushing their buttons, I think, and you know, just putting
actually,
their face.
Entertainment smuggling is a huge business in North Korea,
right?
Because they're so oppressed,
it's so limited. They it's a stranglehold on what they're allowed. Yeah.
Like in America,
like how Kim Jong Il put the ban on Team America.
No, totally. Yeah, like in America, we like smuggle like human trafficking and cocaine and like all the good
stuff, which is awesome.
Like in North Korea, normal stuff. Yeah, in North Korea, they smuggle like this week's episode of The Young and the Restless. Like,
no
that's
way.
Like they get arrested for
which
that.
Which is also awesome.
They're just like, we want this stuff.
It's awesome, but
I watch that with my hookers and cocaine. I'm like, hey, hookers, and do this cocaine and watch Young and the Restless. Look, Sonny's at it again.
Well, they're like, they like sit and like they carve like a secret room in their closet, and they have this little portable DVD player, and they're like, oh my goodness, we're watching TV.
Supreme
right
Leader
now.
Doesn't yes. know.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Wow. Okay.
That's crazy.
So South Korea is sending all these copies over in balloons. North Korea caught wind of this, and they're taking it really seriously. Instead of just taking it like a prank or a joke,
I feel like they're not really practical jokers. They don't take pranks real well.
Probably not.
They're not like exactly. punked. That's isn't the real big in their no. in their
they're like
in their country.
They're like unloading an entire clip of their AK-47s on each copy of this DVD.
Yeah. That's what they're doing, and that's what Kim Jong-un said. He goes, "If these come over, we're going to blow them up with missiles, and we're going to take this as a declaration of war on South Korea." Like, damn, dude, take a fucking joke, will you? Lighten up.
And that was the whole thing with the movie The Interview, is that they, like, hacked Sony Studios and, like, tried to delete everything of its existence.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So the question is, who's the real whack job? Is it South Korea for trying to push their buttons, or North Korea for taking it so seriously?
I think the obvious answer is North Korea.
Yeah. No, right. Totally. And I don't know if it's about pushing buttons. Like I said, maybe if they send it on balloons, like, I don't really know, but
that's what they said they're doing. They're, like, sending them over on balloons. Like, it's almost comical.
Sure, and yeah. that
I think
may
they're
be
trying
so,
to like, make fun of them or
it is
like
a very serious thing that like people are like starved, not only for food, but I mean just for like something other than what they're only allowed and forced to have. That Kim Jong Un
or whoever portrait every
approves,
night,
yeah.
a bowl of rice.
No, totally. They have churches where they basically are forced to worship him every week, and if you don't, you're arrested and executed, and like under terms of being a
are
terrorist
you
or
you don't worship
or, like
him
a rebel.
Every week? I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I go every week to worship Kim Jong
or Taylor Swift or whatever. It's just the same principle. Is that like you if know. You don't
in the
come,
same room.
I beat off to both. Yes, sure. I get what you're saying.
And if you don't, I beat you'll off be to arrested him as a traitor. Is what it is. It's really serious. It's fucked up.
Yeah. It is insanely oppressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if you look at the globe at night, you know, all the countries lit up. South Korea, extremely, you know, at night, all lit up because you can see all the lights of the country. North Korea is just fucking dark.
Blackout.
There's nothing.
There's like eight people to get the internet there.
Right, and the only they get like one internet site, and it's like North Korea, we crush America in Korean War, and like that's the only fucking site they have.
Like loudspeakers on every intersection that like is the Kim Jong Un like giving a speech like fuck yeah, America, 9/11 was the shit, whatever.
Yeah. Oh shit,
was the shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
oh,
totally.
Shit.
It's legit. Yeah, and I watched Total National Geographic.
We've got a buddy that I saw. That one, it's good. We got a buddy that is in the Air Force. He's been to South Korea a bunch, and he's telling us that, like, on North Korea, where the border is for facing South Korea, there's like a fake city that they've erected. There's like skyscrapers, apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. They're all 100% vacant, but it's to give the illusion that it's a very luxurious, lustrous
like
place to live.
That it's like plywood, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a movie set. It's all a facade.
Totally.
No
and that's
way.
In the movie The Interview.
Willie
too,
B's
where
mind
have,
is like blown.
I'm like, my face right now, I want to see my face.
They have like plastic stuff like in their grocery stores and
right.
Like
yeah.
They're so the, like the Sony you know entertainment TV store is just like 3 feet wide and just like lined with aisles of just like pictures of TVs and shit.
Is that nuts?
Like, sorry, we don't sell t-shirts here. But look, we have a whole rack of t-shirts. Yeah, they're not for sale.
Let's just land here and then get trapped in.
I wonder how they make that. Do they have, like, is there, like, graphic design shops set up inside North Korea that's, like, printing and making these? Or are like, they going out of the country for it? Like, how do they make these?
Why aren't they, like, one of the only countries that, like, refuses to be in the UN also?
Yeah, I mean, I think partly they don't want them in the UN. I think it's a mutual.
They put up as much of a front as they can without seeming like they're the most like evil, like oppressive country in the world.
Right. Yeah. Well, as long as there's still Iran giving them a run for their money.
Sure. they're the top five most ridiculous countries.
Right.
But so
they're the only one outside of the Middle East that's a fucking crazy ass.
So North Korea is definitely the whack job of the week.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
For
good
sure.
Call. Yeah. I agree with Neil, the producer, the illest.
So he's got it. I want to talk about switch gears a little bit here. I want to talk about. I found this list online. I found interesting. It's nice to have some other guys here to get some insight on this. It was called.
I love your lists.
It was called 15 Little Flaws, quote unquote, that women you love and call perfect should have. Okay.
I've never called a woman perfect.
All right. Well, your mother must be thrilled.
My mother's not perfect.
She's putting it out there. Damn.
So some of these I'm going to gloss over. Some of these I actually want to talk about. So,
I look forward to it. Where did this list come from? Who's the pretentious douchebag that's like, this is what every man
it was
sees
on EliteDaily.com.
Okay, I've heard of them. Are they actually a credible source? Or are they just like a glorified BuzzFeed?
Probably the latter. Mm. So number one, she cares about you too much. Okay,
start off. What's the list called again?
15 quote unquote flaws that women you love and call perfect should have.
Okay.
Number one, she cares about you too much. How is this a flaw?
How is that a fucking flaw?
Okay. So she cares about you. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Last I checked.
Yeah.
But then what is the margin of too much?
Well, that's subjective.
That crosses into, like smothering.
Leave the fuck alone!
Google Maps says it takes you 10 minutes to get home. It took you 12. Where were you?
Oh, that's more insecure. That's overbearing.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's upset, but
you
let's
don't need that.
Let's
no, caring. So we're talking about caring.
This,
they care too much.
She cares about you.
Number
is that
two,
such a thing?
Number two is where I really started to like get into this. It says she takes too long to get ready, and in the context below that says it drives you crazy. She can never be on time to anything, but at the same time, she looks amazing when she's done. How about this? How about this? Get your shit together and fucking start getting ready earlier. Like, why does she have to? How are we?
Not all women do that, though.
Not all do, but it's pretty common anyway.
Did your parents ever teach you structure, right? Like timing, like etiquette? Yeah,
you have a fucking clock.
Says the producer. Good call, buddy. Yeah, you have a timing and structure.
You understand that, you know, what time is, right? The concept of time.
Right.
Raising them to be punctual.
Why are we excusing them? Great, they look great afterwards, but like, why are we excusing them for not understanding how to start getting ready 15 minutes earlier? How is that a flaw we want them to have? So great, well, you're just fucking so late for everything.
If we love and think are perfect, if we love them and think they're perfect, then this whole list is obsolete. If we already think they're perfect,
we're just like stupid little puppy dogs that are just like, oh, it's okay that you're like late to my grandma's funeral, right?
And it's like, the concert started at 8:00. It's 10:30. You ready to go now?
No big deal.
Well, if that's the case, then the headliner probably is not staged yet anyway.
Okay.
So
number three, she has a knack for pointing out your flaws. Okay, so awesome.
Bitch. Look,
that makes her perfect?
There's constructive criticism, and then there's being a critical cunt. It's like, what the fuck? Like, critic. How is someone who can tell you how shitty you are all the time?
How would you ever label somebody who does that as to being perfect?
Yeah. Right. That's,
they're a critical cunt.
If I love you, I would assume you love me, and you'd at least somewhat consider my ego and my feelings as a man.
So, okay. Number four. She does things completely out of the blue. Just for you. Okay, how is this a bad thing? This is something I tell people all the time, and especially my girlfriend now.
I'm confused by this list.
It's like, here's what I've always said. I go, if let's put it this way, like let's say your girlfriend runs at you and jumps at you and like, because she loves you and tackles you, and you kind of like stub your toe on something and fall down. It hurts.
Are you
right?
talking in real experience here?
No, I'm painting a picture. What I'm saying is, like, if she does that, my thing is always this. If you're doing what you're doing out of love,
right,
I'm cool with it. Even if I don't like it, even if it hurts, I'm not mad at you.
What if she forces you down and takes a dump on your chest out of love?
She's like, I love you so much, I want to shit on you.
I have everybody shit on me. I'm like, what the fuck?
I think Brian would like that. But
you're
perfect.
So, but my thing is always like, if you're doing it out of anger, different story. But if you're doing it for something for me out of love, even if it's not my thing, or I'm
just
not
like excited to see you, you know,
I'm okay.
This list is ridiculous so far. We're on number three, and I'm like, what?
This is stupid.
Okay, so she spends way too much time picking out a perfect gift, but not a whatever. Who gives a shit?
How do we know how much time she's taking?
How about this one though? She takes care of herself and makes you look like a slob in comparison. Okay, so why is every guy like a slob now?
According to like every yogurt commercial on TV, all men are slobs and shit. It's bullshit.
Yogurt.
She'll be like
with her friends, like, this is like the best light yogurt ever, and like the husband's like in the background, tangled up in the blinds, just
right, like doesn't know, like he's just an idiot.
That's how that was portrayed.
Look, there's a reason we have the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's not because of fucking women. Okay, I'm gonna say that. If it were up to women, there'd be no bridge from Oakland to San Francisco right now. I'd be like, well, there it is. Oh, I don't know the fuck we're gonna get there. Like men did that shit. Okay, men did that shit. No ferry. There's no ferry without men either. Women aren't building a ferry. I'm sorry.
It's Tinkerbell.
Exactly. That's the only ferry they're building.
Oh no, this one broke.
Okay. That's right. I'm gonna power through a couple. Number seven, she's always right. Really, she's always right.
She's a woman.
That's kind of annoying, yeah.
She somehow manages to both need you and not need you, which infuriates you. How is that a bad thing? I don't know. Number nine, she forces you to improve yourself, which takes a lot of work. Okay.
So she wants you to be a better person?
That's what I want in a woman.
Well,
that's what makes a woman more perfect.
That's my girlfriend, dude. She makes me be a better person.
Hopefully we're both improving and becoming better people.
Isn't that the point of a relationship? I can't do this shit on my own.
Improve each other.
For a couple of couch potatoes.
You guys are a team.
So number 10, she's never afraid to speak her mind. Not a bad thing. She always wants to be holding your hand or be held in your arms. I don't know. I don't have a big thing about PDA. If it's a girl I'm into, I don't give a shit.
I prefer hold her hand affection. That's cool with me.
Number 12, she's always leaving her comfort zone, dragging you along with her. I don't have a comfort zone personally, and I don't think people should, so fuck that.
I think I'm usually the one pushing.
Right.
Sure, okay.
She expects you to love her more than you've ever loved another woman. All right, well, that's okay.
Well, that's just a dumb comment, too, though. I mean, kind of, honestly.
She makes you feel like you could lose her at any time. This is one I really took umbrage with. So, like, you're in a constant fear of a crumbling relationship? Like, she constantly is like, any moment, I could fucking be out of here. Like, how is that?
Well, so many times, though, man. So many times. Don't do that. I get what you mean?
I do. I know what you mean, Willie B.
It's the fifth time I'm out, Wolf.
Well, I think the author also...
If it's trouble all the time.
I think the author also means guys are have this thing where they're supposed to like worship their woman and be like, oh, she's way out of my league is where that's coming from. So it's like, I better treat her right because there's another guy out there that could fuck her better than me.
How do you feel when you say something like that, man?
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree.
It just makes me be like, fuck 2015. This is 1942. God damn it.
Yeah. Watch my socks.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I think that equality is an amazing thing, but still, the same side of the same coin, like, we are different.
There's a distinction, absolutely.
And I think that I've actually attempted to be a stay-at-home father, and as a male, I feel that I'm inequipped for that. When a woman is more nurturing, emotionally,
absolutely,
like strong, emotionally strong.
We have stations in nature for a reason. Okay,
totally. Strengths
nature
and
knows better than we fucking know. Period. Like, I don't totally give a shit what anyone says.
Men and women are totally black and white. Like,
hold on.
Willie
B.
What?
Fucking, hey,
what am I gonna do? What should I do?
Earmuffs. Earmuffs right now. Caucasians. I'm not bringing race into this. Okay, Jesus Christ. Okay, we're all. I don't see color. I don't know
homosexuality.
I'm Mexican. I got no dog in the fight.
So. Today, homosexuality is the gray, but I think black and white is men and women. Totally.
I think you're right. And can I just add to this? I don't know if your house is haunted or some shit, but the second we just started talking about men and women being black and white, your Tucker Max book just tipped over by itself.
That's funny.
And I think that's like the ultimate. You guys know Tucker Max, Hope They Serve Beer in Hell? He's like the ultimate misogynistic prick. And he makes comedy books about like mistreating women. So the second that we were just like,
black
I think
and white black is white, bullshit.
His book was just like,
dude, bullshit. Well,
that's kind of creepy, like, actually.
Bullshit.
The same analogy as Mars and Venus. That's the way. That's what I meant.
Right. Now, but you're right. We have different stations in life, and nature set it up that way for a reason.
Yeah.
The women are more nurturing and compassionate towards children.
Yeah, yeah.
We, you know, almost any woman is a way better parent than any guy because they're just like
generally speaking
all things being equal I'm not talking about some, you know, crack addled meth head fucking and then some, you know, some rich guy, well affluent guy, there's a difference, but all things being equal, women raise children way, they're more equipped, they're better equipped.
Yeah, period. That doesn't mean they should be barefoot in the kitchen or anything like
that. I'm not saying they should
I'm not saying that they shouldn't climb the corporate ladder and be CEOs I'm not saying that.
I have a daughter, okay? And you have a daughter, you buy things for her, dresses, baby dolls, like
you
these
buy princess
girls,
shit.
These little girls take care of little dolls all the time, giving them bottles.
Yeah, they're naturally
they're naturally
maternal.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what little girls want to play with, are toy dolls, you know, and bottles.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, and for the boys, we're always about like playing games and football and basketball. You know what I mean? And
men are more logical. Women are more emotional. Period.
I think.
Period. That's just the way it is.
I think the bottom line, the way, and this is disputable, but my final point I would like to make is that I think that men are more driven by pride while women are more driven by relationships.
All right.
I think
not all
that's
women,
a, just a general statement,
women.
But I would agree with it.
Word.
Right. Okay.
I'm a prideful son of a bitch.
Did you have another news article?
I did, but let's jump into the list.
All right.
How's that sound? Unless you got something else you want to
talk
about.
Let me do the Parents of the Week, then we'll do the list.
Then list. Good.
Okay. Hear that. Yeah.
So, Parents of the Week this week. Headline is, these are always really sad. These are really depressing articles.
Oh, no.
The headline is, Baby Left Alone Starves After Mom Suspected Overdose.
I knew it was going to be fucking sad.
Parent of the Week.
Oh, Willie. Sorry, buddy.
Funny. Hey,
police believe a 22-year-old woman died of an overdose a week or two ago. A week or two ago. This is how shitty these police are.
Maybe
they can't even narrow it down. Like
where
a week or two.
At? Where?
This was in Millville, Pennsylvania.
Might have been six
these
days.
These are all fucking depressing, dude.
Millville sounds like some little ass, like, Chainsaw Massacre
cartel. No shit, right? Like, so her, before her 10-month-old baby starved when no one was left to care for him in a Western Pennsylvania apartment they shared. This is obviously shitty parent of the week. Sad.
But okay, dude, let me cut in. They're always shitty, sad. It's never like sarcastic, funny parent of the week. It's always shitty, sad. Like, usually, for once, I would love to hear like a parent of the week, as Neil said.
I thought it'd be
like a sarcastic parent of the week.
No, they're shitty, terrible parents.
Once, I'd like to hear an article about like mom goes to Walmart, buys too much shit, straps kid's car seat to the roof or something.
No, that doesn't
like,
happen.
Why are they always like a parent OD'd and starved kid and drowned her in the tub?
Like father jumps out of a tree to scare a child, accidentally crushes it.
That'd be better.
When that happens, you let me know.
Let your kid go for the monkey bars for the first time and break an arm.
This just enforces my policy, which will be in place one day when I'm in charge. If you want to have a fucking kid, you put in an application.
Yeah, no, dude, I totally agree with that. No. Yeah, like, who doesn't?
You have to have like a certain IQ level to reproduce,
and a certain income level. How about also?
No, I want totally. This is my application.
Like a resume.
Here's what I want. Yeah. We put a sterilization agent in the water. No one can fucking have kids.
And the antidote is given by thorough testing.
Right. When you fill out your application, you give me your debt to income ratio. You tell me your psychological and health history. Why you can have a kid and support a kid. And you fucking when you give me all that, we're like, all right, you can have a kid.
So when you're
president, we give you the antidote, and then you can have a kid. We would be living in a utopia inside of 20 years.
But unfortunately, if you ever were to become president and see that,
I do.
Okay, when?
Sure.
Thank you.
Amen. I support that.
Yeah.
recognize.
Too bad this podcast will never let him get there.
Check it out.
I will write your hip hop campaign anthem. Ooh. For sure.
Love it.
Bottom line, though, just honestly, truly, is that the reproduction business, hospitals, insurance, all this shit is like 10 times even more profitable than what people even perceive the incarceration business to be.
Sure.
Reproduction is
and you nailed it. Incarceration boom. Business. That is a business too.
Well,
in
that's
America.
Why. That's privatized business.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
how many people their job is specialized in delivering babies?
Yeah.
How many jobs it's specialized to like approve you for WIC stamps and like all this shit? Like reproduction is like a huge business for the economy.
But it's so shitty for our world.
No, it totally is. And I mean like the Generation X, like most grandparents now, like people that were born in the 70s are grandparents. What? Like they fucked it up because like they had all these moms that were like husbandless after all these wars and stuff going on, having kids and then being hippies and doing all these drugs and having all this just so many conflicts of like social etiquette all happening all at once that we just became lost in the idea of the nuclear family and the idea of like America the beautiful was now America just America the free. It was no longer beautiful. It was just fuck it. Yeah. And we're just all paying the price.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a little too deep.
Well said. No, well, I don't know. It's good.
Should we get into our list here?
Let's dive into the list.
Tonight we did a list of Brian. You describe it. You. This is
kind of my idea. I saw something in a parking lot at my job that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I shouldn't say that. It didn't rub me the wrong way because if you want to have the thing that I saw, have it. But I was thinking about this. I was like, how pretentious is this particular thing? And I was like, what are some of the most pretentious things in life that I can think of, like that are like currently not bugging me, not plaguing me per se, but
just a thing.
Yeah, we like to notice, like we like to complain a lot, and we notice like stupid shit, things that should be corrected, like what he just talked about. Like, what are some like pretentious ass things that we can come up with and like rant about?
Yeah.
And we want to get you and Willie B chimed in here. Sounds like he's about to be back here finishing his biz.
We have a list.
We do.
How you doing, Brian? You know?
I was going to ask for that last name, Cassie.
Oh, we've got one of those. Yes, sir. Please have it.
So we are going to do our list of five most pretentious, well, you know, recurrently pretentious
currently
things.
Pretentious
we're that are on our mind. So,
yeah. So you just missed the what we're going to do, Willie B. Basically, our list for the day is five pretentious things that we can think of. Ah, beer opener. Five pretentious things that we've currently noticed, just like pretentious
things in the world
things,
that are, you know, just damn it type of things.
Yeah, pretty much. We don't like pretentious douchebags, so we talked about it. So should I start the list off?
Go for it.
First one off the bat for me, pretentiousness, vegans.
I don't know. My girlfriend is a vegetarian. So
vegetarian
is she
different.
Vegetarian or vegan?
Well, I know.
Vegetarians,
I know that vegans don't eat anything animal at all.
Okay,
at all.
Or wear anything.
Right.
So here's my thing with vegans. The joke goes, "Oh, how do you know someone's a vegan? Oh, trust me, they'll tell you." Like that's kind of how they are. So anytime I see some like vegan forum online or anything like that, they're just like these smuggest pieces of shit ever that act like they're better than everybody else because they don't do animal stuff. But basically it's like, you know, we were talking about like how people are built and how we're equipped for life, the whole man and woman thing.
Yeah.
Look at our fucking teeth. Look at our digestive system. We are made to eat animals. And yeah, there's some fucked up animal cruelty shit that goes on in like pig farms and things like that. But the majority of where your meat comes from in grocery stores are clean kill animal places like that. And we're made to eat that meat. And I've met too many vegans in my life where they want to act like they're better than everybody else. And it's like, really, what do you do to contribute to society before like submit animal – besides submitting animal cruelty videos to YouTube and things like that?
Yeah, are you
that,
like picketing you know what I mean? In front of like the McDonald's headquarters?
No.
Or?
Yeah.
It's just – it's a great – and I'm going to touch on this in a second too and something I talk about. But
okay.
It's one of those causes that like you can get behind that no one's going to – be mad at you about.
Yeah,
it's like someone who has
animals. Like, who hates animals?
Right, it's like someone who has like an end war bumper sticker. It's like, yeah, I get it. Nobody's like pro war. We know we all fucking want war to end. But that fucking bumper sticker isn't doing shit. Like no one behind you in traffic on the 90 is going, oh
yeah, let's kill war? Innocent Middle Eastern kids.
They're like
you.
End war. Yeah. That's a great idea. I never thought of that. We should do that.
Let's
like coexist. We all get it. Yeah, we all get it. Yeah, they coexist. Yeah. Same thing. It's like, good fucking idea. No shit. Like, we all fucking want to coexist. There's, and I've brought some before, and Brian was surprised, but this is something you actually see in LA a lot. On the traffic signs, they have these big reader boards on the freeways in LA, and sometimes they have messages on them. And one of them, one time, was end senior abuse. Okay? Which I argue. Perpetuates.
I'm going to hide your Alzheimer pills.
It
Gappa.
Only perpetuates senior abuse. Because if you're beating the shit out of Grammy down
good
his
idea.
Fucking Shady Acres, no one sees that and be like, well, maybe I shouldn't kick the shit out of fucking Graham tonight.
They're right.
They see that and be like,
just
you know what?
My conscience.
I haven't been down and fucking beat Mabel with her own slipper this week. I need to go fucking kick her ass.
Or it's like I need another $1,000. Maybe I should go intimidate Pappy.
Right, yeah, like no one sees that and just be like, well, that fucking ambiguous street sign is right. I shouldn't beat the shit. If you're beating the shit out of old people, that's just what you do. There's no fucking stopping you because of a street sign at that point.
Yeah, and it's pretentious as fuck. Like we're saying, like I used to live directly, literally, absolutely right next door to Planned Parenthood years ago.
Oh, I remember that.
My first apartment. It was a duplex.
You used to record over there too.
How did you record over the screams?
No, ouch. Right? No. So there's actually like
too
a
soon?
Half, there's like there's like a half acre of parking lot between the abortion room and my bedroom. The point
is like wire coat hangers just getting like tossed out the window into the dumpster left and right.
Yeah, I'm like raking my yard, finding like small legs and things.
Oh,
so.
whoa.
Yes. Whoa. No, most offensive episode ever.
Wow.
No, but the bottom line is just as far as like pretentiousness, being that all these like priests and nuns and weirdos with like bear mace and like giant like Channel 4 recorders, like they didn't work for the news. They just had these like gigantic video cameras.
Yeah.
And like every Wednesday and Saturday, they would like.
Is that like discount abortion day or something? Like,
every Wednesday. Maybe. It must be.
Half off your abortions.
Nonetheless.
We do the top half this week. I don't know how they do them exactly.
It's like second trimester only today, half off. Yeah. Get in while you can.
Wow.
Late term
abortions, 30% off this Friday only.
Only that's today. Yes, the line starts here. But no,
and you have to be Mexican or something like that.
Well,
like,
I mean, let's be fair. Most of them probably were.
Our teenagers.
Yeah.
No, hey, I'm neutral about it. I'm like, hey, if that's how you feel, go for it. If not, shut the hell up. And that was my thing. That's just why it's so pretentious, is that I've actually, like, because they walk out there with megaphones, picket signs of, like, dead babies and, like, video cameras and stuff, and I live right next door, so
it's
like,
really hard. It's really hard to beat off after that. You're like, I'm trying to jerk off over here. These dead babies are not making it easy.
I
got there. It just took me longer. I don't know.
The main thing is just that, wouldn't your time be better spent in a nursing home? They're still going to get that abortion. Like, out of 100 people that you scream in their face with a megaphone a day, how many people are changing their mind? Wouldn't all these babies that you want so badly to be born,
are you going to adopt that baby?
Yeah. You're going to scream in somebody's face about how they're wrong, but then what about the people who you think are right? What are you doing to contribute? And that just goes back to what you're saying, is like, okay, yeah, it's, you're saying this, but what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No.
So what's on yours?
My first one, not as serious as abortions, lighten up a little. This is something we've talked about before on this podcast, but fucking dog people. And what I mean by that is I love dogs.
Okay. You have a dog. Yeah,
I have a dog.
Your dog has its own bedroom.
She does. She has her own bed.
She's beautiful.
Also known as the rape
talking,
room.
I'm talking about people who fucking bring their little shitty dogs everywhere they fucking go. In the supermarket, on the airplane,
thank you.
Fucking, like, you go to, like,
I didn't think about this, but you are spot on.
Dude, these fucking people who, like, you see them everywhere. Now they have their, you know, emotional support dog everywhere
prescription companion.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guess what? It cures my anxiety, or, like, it makes me, guess what makes me feel less anxious? Fucking beating off over anime porn in Macy's. But fucking, guess what? I do that and I'm a sexual deviant all of a sudden. It's like, fuck, dude, who gives a shit? Like, I don't want to see your shitty dog. I'm glad you love your dog. Do you know who doesn't love your dog? Everyone else. No one gives a shit about your fucking dog.
You're spot on. And to add
I'm a dog lover, so I'm like, oh shit, I love your dog.
You don't want to see it in the produce section, though, do you?
No. I see enough of it on Facebook, damn it.
That too.
What happened to, like, look, I'm not against dogs. I love dogs. I'll always have dogs. Yeah. I fucking love them. But I don't bring them with me everywhere I go.
No, I understand. Dude, that.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, so man.
I was in the Safeway off Hamilton one day over by Gonzaga, across from Planned Parenthood, to do a little throwback to there. Me and my girlfriend were in there. And I shit you not, we were there for no longer than about 40 minutes. In that 40-minute time, we saw 7 dogs. Not service animal dogs, just 7 regular-ass dogs. A mix of little bitch-ass Pomeranian chihuahuas, like in the shopping cart, all the way to, like, golden retrievers and shit. And
was it like a homeless lady or what?
All 7 of them? No, they were like almost like.
Was the dog wearing a bandana? Because that's when you know they're homeless.
Most of them were older ladies.
They have a bandana on.
But,
they have like fanny packs and shit.
Yeah, right. Most of them were older ladies that had these dogs, but I'm like, really? 7?